Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Mit Wieso Steuer? Bis zum 31. Juli abgeben.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, Greg Warren with the Warren Report about ketchup. You'll hear that coming up right after this.
Coming soon to a theater near you, the sexiest sports movie of all time, starring Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon in a love story that will affect millions.
Oh my God, I think I have herpes.
Nah, it's just a fever blister, bitch.
Jimmy Fallon is Michael Vick as Ron Mexico in Fever Bitch.
Michael, I told you to stop at third base.
Hey, bitch, I told you. I'm a quarterback. How the hell am I supposed to know anything about baseball?
But Michael!
Michael who? I told you. My name is Ron Mexico.
Fever Bitch. Leonard Maltin says,
this is the best portrayal of a white man by a black man since the Wayne Brady Show.
This movie experience is one that will stay with you the rest of your life. Fever Bitch, where the laughter isn't the only thing that's infectious.
Oh, hello? Is this a free clinic? My name is, Ron Mexico. Yeah. Are my test results in?
Fever Bitch.
That's not in the playbook, but it should be.
It should be.
Now, some more Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
And I believe we have a special guest, Tom.
Oh, those are some blue eyes I'm seeing on the big screen, ladies and gentlemen. Those blue eyes belong to the very handsome Greg Warren.
Greggy!
Fresh from the barbershop, it looks like.
They twinkle, don't they?
Nice crisp haircut. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to see you.
No, yeah, I'm coming to you from a hotel room, so no Warren picture this week.
Are you in the closet?
There's a big black curtain behind you or something. Are you in the closet?
No.
Do you have to be?
Where are you? Why you is have it so
to,
black?
You have to be quiet because there's someone in bed sleeping.
No.
It's like it dark in there, huh?
No, it's just me. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. It's good to talk to you guys.
Likewise.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you today about an important topic, the history of ketchup.
Oh, how about that?
Cool.
Are you finally going to explain ketchup and catsup to us?
I tried to get into that, Josh, and I couldn't get a lot of good answers.
That's what they tell me, man.
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't want us to know something.
I know something's up there, yeah. Man, because it's CIA type stuff. You really can't get to it. And Tom hasn't given me quite the research budget that I need.
All right.
Now, ketchup, guys, it was known as early as 300 BC in Imperial China.
Huh.
Back in the day, guys, ketchup had nothing to do with tomatoes.
Yeah, wasn't it kind of a fish sauce?
Yes. Here's an early recipe. Intestine, stomach, and bladder of yellowfish.
Mm-hmm.
Add moderate amount of salt, seal tightly, incubate in sun. 20 days in the summer, 50 in the spring or fall, yikes. 100 days in the winter.
And then does it say pick up casket?
Man.
That is really disgusting.
Well, no. Here's the thing. And I got to stress with this recipe, only a moderate amount of salt or it won't taste like intestine, stomach, and bladder of yellow fish.
Don't overpower the flavors.
Sure.
Yeah. It was called the Ko-Chiup.
Okay.
And that's how we got to ketchup. Now, of course, the traders found it and they brought it back to the West. And it was very popular, especially in England. But again, nothing to do with tomatoes. England had several varieties, mushroom, ketchup was very popular. That tastes a lot like Worcestershire sauce, anchovy-based ketchup. And then walnut ketchup, that was Jane Austen's favorite.
How about that?
Walnut ketchup. You guys, in back in the day, if Jane got behind something...
Yeah.
Supply chain issues. When the Brits found out Janie liked the walnut ketchup, you could not keep it on the show.
Yeah.
It was pretty much anything you wanted it to be back then.
Huh.
And then in 1812, Willie, there was a war in 1812. What was that called?
French and Indian War, maybe.
Try the
War of 1812 then, probably.
Yeah. Ah, good job, Willie. Hey, that kid's a history buff, I'll tell you what. That was the first tomato ketchup, and that was James Meese. James called tomatoes love apples. They were a supposed aphrodisiac. It was very confusing back in the time if a lady said she wanted to show you her love apples. It might mean take a look at her tomato garden.
Some really disappointed fellas back in the day.
A lot of guys going, well, this is not what I expected.
They're sure, certainly nice.
I
was hoping more for melons, but okay.
The reason why it took so long to put tomatoes into ketchup is people thought tomatoes were poisonous back then. They were identical to the nightshade berry.
Right.
And those were poisonous. Some wealthy Englishmen ate tomatoes on lead and pewter plates.
Oh.
And the tomato acid leached into the lead and they got lead poisoning and they blamed the tomatoes.
Wow.
Of course. Now, this was interesting. Some people started to change and they started saying, hey, they're not poisonous. Colonel Robert Gibbon of New Jersey stood on the courtyard steps and ate a basket of tomatoes to prove that they were not poisonous. One time in Omaha, I saw you eat three ice cream sandwiches. Was that...
I had to show the people that these were safe to consume. And even though they yelled, we're convinced after I ate the first one, I said, I don't think you are.
Stand back. Give me a minute.
And the rule of three is you can't have just two, you know?
But people came around on tomatoes and they went a 180. They said that they were now like a magic cure. Dr. John Cook Bennett claimed they healed stomach problems and they made them into a pill form. Now, guys, when they started bottling ketchup, pretty awful stuff. Like a lot of packaged food before the novel The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. That was a novel, of course, to show the horrors of what went on in making packaged food and in factories. Later in the 1980s, Axl Rhodes did a musical version of that novel called Welcome to the Jungle.
They were related, were they? Axel.
I had no idea.
Axel was protesting what went on in the factories in the 1800s.
It gets worse there every day, Kristen.
Oh, I know.
And so what he did is like, it was the tomato season is very short. It's like 2 months and people wanted ketchup year round. So they tried to preserve the tomato pulp and they did a horrible job of preserving it. Most ketchups had mold, deadly bacteria and yeast in them.
Oh, God.
So then they decided, okay, we're going to start putting preservatives in it to stop it. And those weren't much better. It was the harmful stuff of boric acid. They use a thing called coal tar to dye the ketchup red. Now, guys, coal tar may sound like it's good for you, but it's not.
Oh, really?
No, it's not at all.
Okay.
They use it to coat asphalt on driveways.
Okay.
I like the smell of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was flammable, and it was a carcinogen. So.
Huh.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Enter Henry Hines, 1876.
Yes, here he comes.
Henry Hines, very morally strong guy, a visionary. The factories that this guy ran were immaculate. He treated his workers really well. He gave them health insurance, dental insurance, the factories. It was like Google. They had a cafeteria, pools, gyms, roof gardens. Get this. If you worked at Hines, you had your own manicurist, so you kept your fingernails clean.
That's great.
How about that?
Pretty cool stuff.
Huh. He lost billions.
Yeah. 57 billion. To be precise.
Where do you think we were ever wrong? I think it was a manicure. Yeah.
What year was this?
This was 1876 that he found.
Wow, that is ahead of its time.
Yeah, he was going to make sure Upton had nothing to write about.
Tom, can we get a manicurist here? That'd be fun. That'd make her
smile. Yeah, that would be great.
That'd be great.
You think Upton Sinclair was that era's Ronan Farrow, where people... sir, Upton's here. Oh, Jesus. All right, get out the mops. Everybody.
Hide everything.
Tom, you mentioned something about 57.
Are there 57 varieties of Heinz ketchup?
There are not. As honorable as a man as H.J. was, he was a liar when it came to 57. He was in New York City one time and saw this shoe store that said 21 varieties of shoes. And he thought that sounded cool. So there's a lot of different stories, differing stories about where 57 came from. I read that his favorite number was 5 and his wife's favorite number was 7. So they came up with 57 varieties, which is printed on every
famously
ketchup bottle. Yeah. Yeah. And here a couple of things on that. One, if you've got a favorite number, just grow up.
Hey, wait a minute.
Well, you tell that to number 2.
And then, the other thing is, like, whenever I've read that, it's never made me want to. I mean, I like Heinz ketchup enough, but it's like 57 varieties. Well, just pick the best one. Like, it sounds like you can't make up your mind. Who cares? That means that I might not be eating the right one.
How long have they had that motto, if you will?
Since beginning?
I believe that it was early on.
Wow.
Again.
So it's working, but you're upset because it was made up. I mean, you know, so's the G spot, but we're not, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we care about 57.
Great work.
Yeah.
Actually Heinz a while to find pure ingredients. He wanted to make his ketchup pure and free of all the coal tar. In 1906, he found a preservative-free recipe, and his idea was put it in a clear bottle so you could see what's going on. Before that, it was like an opaque bottle. So, and if you notice, all ketchup bottles are clear. It reminds me of, I have always wondered about the table side guacamole, because it's the only food that they prepare table side. There must have been some funny stuff going on with guacamole back in the day that now they're like, see, these are real avocados. We're not pulling that garbage anymore. Now, ketchup, by the way, is a non-Newtonian fluid.
Sure.
That means
what does that mean?
It means how much stress is applied to it
The amount of stress is less.
Quickens the flow.
Yeah, it really quickens everything.
Josh, you're just saying what I said
I'm
right
just
after I
what
said
you're
it.
Saying.
Ketchup, guys, it's pretty slow. It naturally flows at 147 feet per hour.
Wow, they measured that.
Boy.
They did. Yeah, they did. And can you imagine the amount of French fries that they had? For, Now, you know that 57 varieties thing? You know how it's right around the neck?
Right.
Yeah.
That's strategic. That's where you're supposed to tap the ketchup bottle on the 57 varieties label, and that mm-hmm. makes it flow the fastest.
And you're supposed to tap from below.
Oh, really?
No, on the neck. On the neck.
Yes, but I have read you're supposed to tap from below.
Okay, because it does work from the top.
Yeah, it works.
But you're not supposed to hit the back of it.
No, I know. I'm hitting the 57 here.
You take it and you
I think we're saying the same thing. Yeah. If you tap that thing right, you can get it up to 0.028 miles per hour.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll take your eye.
Some interesting stuff about ketchup. You know, in 1981, someone in the Reagan administration proposed having ketchup designated as a vegetable so they could reduce school lunch subsidies. Mm-hmm. Nobody came forward. They don't know who it was. if I had to guess, Al Haig made some pretty bold errors back then. I think it might have been him. He's the guy that when Reagan was shot that said, I'm in charge now, and he was about 13th down on the ladder.
I remember that.
He was brazen.
Yeah.
It wasn't John Kerry that suggested more ketchup being...
oh, sure. The Heinz connection.
I think so, yeah.
You know, this has always bothered me. You know, French's, the mustard people,
mm-hmm.
They have a ketchup, which seems silly.
That's sure
And
does.
Heinz has a mustard. Which I don't want either of that from you guys. You stick to what you do.
Stay in your lane, fellas.
Right. If Frito-Lay starts making light bulbs, I'm not buying.
You can't screw in just one.
Funny.
Thank you, Greg.
Very good. I thought it was good, Josh. I thought it was strong.
Yeah, that's a smiler.
Much better than some of the other stuff you've been slinging. What are most popular condiments these days?
Oh, the most popular condiments? Number one.
Yeah, number one.
Salsa.
Yeah, number one is salsa.
I believe that's been taken over by sriracha.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Greg?
Man, what I'm saying here, now again, I don't have a very big research budget from Tom.
Yeah.
So I can't subscribe to the industry reports. I got to get my this thing was from People Magazine, which is
the answer.
They also
Justin
mentioned
Bieber.
Yes.
And Tom,
I don't know if you guys know celebrities, they're just like us. But what they're saying here is mayo is number one, ketchup, soy sauce, barbecue sauce, hot sauce. By the way, hot sauce is a comic out of the DC area. Brandon Glover, very, very funny
guy. Greg, is this American? Is this just in the U.S.?
This is the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the U.S. Yeah. Again, Josh, it's People Magazine.
Okay. Yeah.
So number one and number two and number three, one more time.
Mayo, ketchup, soy sauce.
How about that?
Yeah,
I think
America's not getting fat.
Yeah, I had read salsa was number one.
So. Maybe that's world.
You know, I think I read that somewhere too, Tom. Again, I got to get.
Well,
I need a.
Yeah, well.
Really? I think you might be right. I don't know.
But that's impressive. Ketchup's doing okay. And is Heinz the number one, I assume?
Heinz is overwhelmingly the number one. There's only one other brand that I could see that made any, other than the private label stuff, but Hunt's. Hunt's has been around for a long time.
And is that a ketchup or a catsup?
I believe Hunt's, I don't know that.
Now,
Heinz was a catsup for a while. and then they switched to ketchup pretty quick.
Actually, the Hunt's company had a lady in charge.
I'm already on board.
No. Her name was Helen. And if you needed ketchup, you went to Helen Hunt for it. So their slogan really did.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Hey, I'm Chris Van Vliet. Go behind the scenes and beyond the headlines with the biggest names in pro wrestling and beyond.
Mr. Sandman.
All I ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So I got to live my life and make people really happy.
The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Do you think there's anybody better than you were?
I think I was great at what I did. And I think other people were great at what they did as well. Greatness is more a mindset, I think, than anything else.
Mindset, motivation, insight with Chris Van Vliet. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.